Begin the current daf from Sartz Kedushin daf Samach Zayin. We begin on the bottom of Samach Vav Mabeis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins to explain the halachas of our previous Mishnah. The Mishnah gave four categories relating to Kedushin and said what is the patterns in halacha that happen from those type of relationships. And they gave cases for each one. So it spoke about a Kedushin that's Taifis where there's no sin. Then the child takes after the father, which is with regular Jewish people. Then there's a case where there could be Kedushin, but it's a Kedushin in sin. Then the child goes after what's called the pogum, the more deficient of the two parents, where, as the Mishnah gave examples of those which are negative prohibitions to have the relationship. So Kedushin is Taifis, but it's an Avera. Third category was where there's no Kedushin with this individual, but there would be a Kedushin with this woman and another man. That's from one of those Chiva Krisis, where the child's going to be a Mamzer. And the last category was where this woman wouldn't have Kedushin, not with this man and not with any Jewish man. Then the child takes after the mother. That's the child of a Shivcha or of a Nachris. So now Gemara explains the halachas of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah opened up by saying, Kol Mokum Sheish Kedushin, wherever there is Kedushin and there's no sin, regular Jewish marriage, the child takes after the father, which is if, let's say, he's a Kayin, the child's a Kayin, he's a Levi, child's a Kayin, no matter what the mother is. Now, Amalei, Reb Shimon, Reb Yechanan, however, Reb Shimon asked Reb Yechanan as follows. He says, Kalalahu, is that a general rule where it's, as the Mishnah said, Kal Mokim? The Kal Mokim Shish Kedushin Bein Avera, that wherever there's Kedushin, there is a halachic marriage. And there's no sin, Havlad Hulcha Chazachar, that the child takes after the father, the male. But on that he asked, Hare, but we have a case, as we continue on top of Samach Zayin and Aleph, of Gerish Anasa Mamzeris. When a convert, a male convert, marries a woman that's a mamzeres, which again, her parents were a chiva krisis relationship that makes her into mamzeres. When those two get married, the convert male and the female mamzer, the yesh kedushin ve'en avera, where there's a halachic kedushin, and there's not even a sin, where although generally a mamzeres or a mamzer not allowed to marry, get married into the Jewish people, the kehillah, but a ger is permitted according to Rabbi Yisi, because he says the kahal of gerim, the assembly of the converts, are not called kahal, as the Gemara teaches later on, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. So there's actually no avera for a mamzer to marry a ger, because that's not considered marrying into the kila. And yet, havlad hoylich achar pogrom, still the child takes after the more deficient parent. In other words, like in that case, it's not going to go after the zachar, after the father, who he's a ger, a kosher Jew. It's going to actually take after the mother, who's the more deficient of those two cases, and the child's going to be a mamzer. The time, like we're in the braisa. Ger shenosa mamzeres, havlad mamzer, when the ger marries a mamzeres, the child does not take after the father and be a regular full-fledged Jew. He takes after his mother, who's the more pogum shebishneim, and he's a mamzer, divrebiyesi. So that contradicts the general statement of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said when there's kedushin and there's no sin, child takes after the father. And here we have a case where the child's taking after the pogum, meaning in this case after the mother. So Amalei, he answered him, he says, Mi savet masnin rebiyesi? You're right, you brought in a braisa, that would be the case according to rebiyesi. But do you think our Mishnah is going like rebiyesi? Masnit Rabbi Yehuda, our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rama that he says, Ger lo yisa mamzeres. A convert is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. It is in Avera. And v'yesh kedushin v'yesh Avera. Therefore, it's actually like the second category of our Mishnah, where there would be kedushin, it's just a negative prohibition, but it would be in sin. And therefore, havlat, ho'ilachacha pogum, actually fits very well into the second category of our Mishnah's four categories, which is when it is in sin, it takes after the more deficient of the parents, which in this case, the mamzeres is the more deficient one, and that's where the child is going to be a mamzer, because our Mishnah is going like a Yehuda, who holds it is an avera and not like a b'yesi. Now, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, well, then minasanye. Then why wasn't this case of gerish anasa mamzeres mentioned in the second category of the Mishnah, which spoke about cases when there's kedushin and there is an avera? For example, it mentioned a Malka and Godel. Why didn't it mention a Gerish or Nasa Mamzeres, where again, we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, and that should be another case of Kedushin that has Navera with the Vlad Zahilach HaPogim. So that the Gemara answers, Tana, Kol Mokim de Seifa. The Tana of a Mishnah learned, when we're calling the Seifa here, we're calling it the second case of the Mishnah, when it was talking about cases when there's Kedushin and there's Navera, he said, Kol Mokim, wherever you have Kedushin and Navera, which sounds like the last suye. It was coming to include something else. What was that coming to include? It was coming to include the case of Gerish Anasa Mamzeres, which wasn't explicit in the Mishnah. So you're right, it is another case of that category. And it was including that when it said Kol Mokim. So that's one approach to explain the question that was asked on our Mishnah, as if it's saying in general statements, if it is, how do we understand Gerish Anasa Mamzeres? where seemingly it fits into the category of Kedushin and no Aveira, and yet it's not going after the Zachar, it's going after the Pogum. And that the Gemara answered, not going like a Rabbi, so going like a Rabbi Yehuda, holds that it is an Aveira, and therefore it actually fits very well into the second category of the Mishnah, where there's Kedushin, and there is an Aveira that's Halach Achar Pogum. Or the Gemara says, actually, if you want, you could say, La'olam Rabbi Yehuda. That actually the Tana of a Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a Ger is permitted to marry Mamzeres. There's no Aveira at all. Now, but your question was, but what do you mean? It sounds like our Mishnah is saying a general rule. And this contradicts this Buxton trend. This contradicts the rule because you have Kedushin and no Avera, and yet it's not going Achar Zachar. So on that, the Gemara answers that actually our Gemara is not saying a general rule. And actually, that is why the Tana Ezoi Zu, by every category, it spoke about four different categories, the Mishnah said, an Ezoi Zu, what is the case that exemplifies this halacha? So for example, let's say regarding the first halacha, when it said when there's Kedushin and no Avera, it said when there's a Kehenes, a Leviya, a Yisraelis, that's married to a Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. Why does it say Ezozu? What type of a case? Because it's coming to tell you that it's only these cases the Mishnah delineates that then when there's Kedushin and no Avera, you're going to go after the Zachar. But it's becoming Lemu'ute. But it's coming to exclude, but that there are other cases when there is Kedushin and no Avera, that the Vlad will not go after the Zachar, it's not going to go after the father, it's going to go after the Pogam, it's going to go after the more deficient of the two parents, which again, like Rabbi Yasi, when the Ger is Nasim Amzeres, although there's Kedushin and no Avera, that's what Ezezu is coming to exclude, that there are cases that are not going to be like our Mishnah's rule, and even though it fits into the category, it's not going to go Holach HaChazach, it's going to go Achar HaPogam. Now the Gemara asked, however, now that we're saying that the terminology in the Mishnah of Ezoi Zu wasn't just like an example, it was actually coming to say that only these cases are going to be the halacha of this category. But something else, for example, like the case we just described according to Rabbi Yisi, when you have a Gerish and Asim Amzeris, that you're not going to go after the Zachar, even though there's Kedushin and no Avera. So that the Gemara asks, have Ezoi Zu v'suloi? Is that really what you're saying? That the Mishnah, when it gives the examples, it's saying only these will fit into the categorical halacha of the Mishnah, and others, even though it has the same category, will not have the same halacha. But you have a case of a male that's a chol, which means to say that his father was a kohen, but his mother was forbidden to his father, let's say a grusha that married a kohen hedyot. So he becomes a chol. Now, this kohen chol marries a regular bas yisrael. She's not, her father's a regular yisrael. The halacha is the yesh kedushin ve'ein aveira. There's Kedushin being Tevis over there more, but there's no sin. As the Mishnah teaches on later on, in the Fine Zayinim and Aleph, that a Bas Chol Zachar, meaning the daughter from a male Chol, is going to be puzzled to the Kuhuna. So his daughter that he has from his wife, there's no Avera in the Torah for a Chol not to marry Bas Yisrael. He's not puzzled like Kehilo, he's maybe puzzled to do that Vayda in the Beis HaMikdash, but there's no prohibition him marrying a Bas Yisrael. But his daughter will be puzzled to Kahuna. Now, obviously, what you see is Havlad Hoylach Achar HaZachar, that the child from that union goes after the male, after the father. That's why his daughter is called a Chalala, even though her mother was not anything wrong with her. She's a regular kosher Bas Yisrael, but her father was a Chal. So you have a case over here, which is seemingly the Halacha of Yesh Kedushin and Ein Avera, and it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, but why not? You made it sound like by Ezezu is saying only these cases. These are cases that there's Kedushin and no Avera, which will have the halacha of a Mishnah that you go after the Zachar. Meaning, excluding, let's say you said Gerish and Asim Amzeris. Well, although there's Kedushin and no Avera, it's not going to go after the Zachar, it's going to go after the Pogam Shabishneim. But there is a case which is not mentioned, and yet seemingly the halacha is that it is Halacha Achar Zachar. When you have a Chol that marries a Bas Yisrael, where it's not a regular Kohen Levi Yisrael marrying Kohenis Levi Yisrael, he's a Chol. And she's a Bas Yisrael, and still you're going to go Achar the Zachar, so why doesn't it mention that case? So the Gemara says, Holy Kasha, that's not a difficulty. Kreb Destoy ben Rabbi Yehuda Svirle. The town of our Mishnah holds like Kreb Destoy ben Rabbi Yehuda, who he says later on also over there on the Ein Zayin Amud Aleph, that Benois Yisrael, Jewish women, meaning a regular Jewish woman, is what's called a mikvah tahara for chalal. She's almost like a mikvah, purifying the descendants of a chal. In other words, he holds actually the daughter of a union of a chal to a Bas Yisrael is actually kosher for kohen. It's not considered chalala. And therefore, that's why it's not said in the case of the Mishnah as Halach HaZachar, it's actually not true. It's not going to go after the Zachar. It's actually going to take after the mother. That's why it doesn't say it. But the Gemara still asks, V'hari Yisrael shenasa chalala. the flip side of the previous case. A regular kosher Jewish man that marries a halala, which is a woman that's forbidden to kohuna, diyesh kedushin ve'en avera, where that's also a case of where there is kedushin and there's no avera, because the isra of marrying halala is only for a kohen. Here the man's not a kohen, he's a regular Yisrael. And yet still havlad hoylech achar zachar, the child takes after the father. Whereas, again, also over there later on, the Ein Zayin and Alaf, we learned in the Mishnah that the daughter of that union of a Yisrael to a halala, the daughter's going to be kosher for the kohuna. And as we don't say that she's a halala like the pogum shibish name, which her mother is a halala, and maybe you would say you take after the more deficient of the two of them, which is the mother and the daughter should be a halal. We don't say that. So it goes after the father. So why wasn't that said in the Mishnah? You're saying that when it says ve'ezuzu, it's saying only these cases. But it's not true because you have another case, which is also kedushin and no avera, and it's also havlat ha'ilachachar zachar. So why doesn't it mention the Mishnah? So I think more answers Tana, when the Tana of the Mishnah says kol makim deresha, when the first case of the Mishnah says kol makim, meaning wherever there is kedushin and no avera, the halach is going to be like this, going to go after the zachar. That's lasui that was coming to include this case of when the Yisrael marries a halala. You're right, it's going to have the same halacha, and that's being included in the terminology of kol makim. So the Gemara says v'nisnai behedya, then but why doesn't it say it explicitly in the cases when it says ve'ezuzu? Which we said, ve'ezuzu comes to exclude certain things, like gershon asam mamzeres. So it there is an exclusionary term. So okay, you're saying you include in kol makim. Why didn't you say it explicitly when it says kahanis, leviyah, yisraelis? Why didn't it mention also a halala that marries the Yisrael, that the halacha is going to be the same thing? So I think my answer is mishum delei masnila, because it cannot be said in the Mishnah. Meaning the way the Tana set up the vernacular of the Mishnah, where it wanted to say it in this abridged version as it says in the Mishnah, it couldn't have said this case of halala that married to Yisrael. Because heichin nisni, how could it say it? In other words, the way the Mishnah said it was, it put all the women and the men, where those are, whatever mixture you make out of that, it'll be kedushin and no avera, and the child's going to be after the father. But if you want to add this case of halal that marries Yisrael, you would have to say it, kohenis, levia, v'yisraelis, v'chalala, shenisses, they got married, those are the females, l'kayin, levi, v'yisrael. Which sounds like that even the halala to the kayin, there's no avera. But the problem is, v'chalala l'kayin, michazia, is a halala fit to marry kayin? A kayin is forbidden to marry halala. There actually is going to be an avera. So though you're right that the halacha is a halala that marries Yisrael, is going to be the same halacha with this kedushin and no avera and it's going to go achad v'zachar, we had to include it in the ribuy of kol makim and not say it explicitly, because since the Tana wanted to say it in the Lashon, it didn't want to say every combination. It wanted to say it in the most abridged version, which lo ilum yilamed odm l'tamid derech katzar, so that's why it couldn't say this case of halala, then it would sound like the halala is permitted and there's no avera to the kain, which there is an avera. But the Gemara continues asking on this. Vo'ika, but there is another case when there is kedushin and no avera, where the child goes after the zachar, which is difficult because again, you said when it says ve'ezuzu, it's excluding all other types of cases. I'll tell you, there's another case which is not said in the Mishnah, and yet it fits into the halacha of the Mishnah. You have the case the Rabbi Bar Chana, the Amar Rabbi Bar Chana Amar Biyichin, and he says a Mitzri sheni. What does it mean? A second generation Mitzri is that his father converted. His father was a first generation Mitzri. In other words, for the conversion. His son is a second-generation Mitzri convert. Shenosa Mitzvah Rishayna. So that Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzvah Rishayna. In other words, that she herself converted to Judaism from the Egyptian people. Says Rabbi Bar Chana, Benoah Shlishi Hava. Her child, her son, is going to be a third-generation convert from the Egyptian people, who's permitted to marry into the Jewish people, to marry a full-fledged Jewish woman. Because the Pasuk in Devarim Chav Gimel says, Dor Shlishi Yavlehem. An Egyptian convert from the Egyptian people cannot marry into the Jewish people. And neither his son, but rather his grandchild, is a Dor Shlishi, a third generation, is allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Now, since when a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Rishayna, there is Kedushin that's being typhus and there's no sin, so then the halach is going to be, as it says, Lebeis Avaisam, the lineage goes after like a regular Jewish person. He takes after his father. So therefore, since the father is a second generation, he takes one lower than that, third, and he doesn't take after his mother, who's a first generation, to make him into a second generation. Now Rashi just forewarns a question, where although the Gemara in Yevamistav says that it says in the Pasuk, Lohem, regarding when they come from the Egyptian people, which sounds like you take after them, which is, as the Gemara there says, halacha achapsul, and you go after their invalidation, meaning the worst of the two parents, that's who you take after. Says Rashi, that's only regarding when, let's say, a Jewish man marries a mitzvah, or an Egyptian man marries a Yisraelis, where there's Kedushin and there's Naveira, because they're not supposed to marry into the Jewish people until after the third generation. That's when you're going to go after the Egyptian, no matter if it's the mother or the father. That's what the pasuk means when it says, V'yavaldu lahem, which is you go after them for their children to consider the more pasul of the two. But when a Mitzri marries a Mitzris before the third generation, there the pasuk of lahem doesn't teach us anything, because of course we're going after them. They're both Mitzri, and he's a Mitzri and she's a Mitzris. So for that, you're going to go after the father, not after the mother. So that's the Gemara's question, saying, so you have a case, Mitzri sheni shenasa mitzris rishayna, where there's Kedushin and there's no Avera, and it's going to go after the father. So why isn't that mentioned in the Mishnah? We said when it says v'ezrazu, as if it's saying only this case, and that's how we know to exclude a ger shenasa mamzeres, but then why doesn't it say this case too, where it's also havlad ho'ilachacha azachar? So the Gemara says, here also Tana, we learn in the Mishnah, kol mokum dereish lasuya, when it says kol mokum, wherever this kedushin, a no avera, it's going to have the halacha, v'lad ho'ilachacha azachar, it's coming to include a mitzri sheni shenasa mitzris rishayna. However, the Gemara does say, Ul Rav Dimi da'ama, but according to Rav Dimi, that he says in Masechet Yevamos over there on Daf Ayin Chesem and Aleph, that actually Sheini Hava, he actually learns that a Mitzri Sheini, the marriage of Mitzri Sheini, the child's not going to be Shlishi. He holds the child's going to be a Sheini. Because he learns that from the Pasuk Asher Yivoldu, that the Pasuk makes a contingent on the birth. In other words, it goes after the mother who gives birth to the child to define what generation Mitzri is going to be. Because it doesn't say Asher Yelidu, that they will give birth, which could include the father. So it talks about regarding the feminine giving birth. So therefore, he actually holds that in such a case, a Mitzri Sheni marry Mitzri Sheni, it's going to be after the mother. So actually, Tano, according to him, Ezezu l'ma'ute. That's exactly what Ezezu is coming to say, that, oh, the cases that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Kohanis, Levirus, Yisraelis, married to Kohen, Levi Yisrael, that's where when there's Kedushin and Noaveir, it's going to go after the Zachar. But that's why it's saying Ezezu, this case is to exclude a case of Mitzri Sheni Shenasa Mitzri Sheni, where although that there is Kedushin and no Avera, it's not going to take after the father. Because if it would, it would be a Shlishi. It's actually going to take after the mother, which is actually going to be a Sheni. Now the Gemara, however, continues to ask and says, but Vayika, again, there is another case of when there's Kedushin and no Avera, that actually the child's going after the Pogum. So it's going to contradict. Here the question is not that we have another case that should have been said, but it's actually saying, but there's a contradiction. The halacha, the Mishnah made it sound like it's a klal, that whenever there's kedushin and no avera, go after the zachar. But the Gemara says, but I'll find you a case when there is kedushin and no avera, and it's not going to go after the zachar, it's going to go after the pogum. Because the chiyasa rav and amr b'yechan, and he said, b'umais, when regards to the nations of the world, which is, let's say there's a man and a woman coming from two different nations, as Gemara will later on explain, halach achar zachar, then you take after the father. Nizgairu, if now these two nationalities, these two non-Jews, if they convert, where now if they get married, there's going to be kedushin because they're both full-fledged Jews and there's no sin, no problem for either one of them to marry each other. Halach achar hapogim shebishneim. Then it takes after the more deficient of the two of the parents, which as the Gemara will later on explain this halacha. But one thing is that the Mishnah should have said this case because you have this halacha of ba'umais halach achar zachar. That it takes where there's no halachic problem of kedushin and there's no avera, where that regarding the second case, actually regarding the first case, the Rashi later on will address why that shouldn't have been mentioned in regarding the halacha of the Mishnah. But regarding the second case, it sounds like there's when they convert, there's kedushin and no avera, and yet it's not going to go achar zach, it's going after the pogum shebish neim. So that's not like the Mishnah. The Gemara says, you're right. Tana, we learned in the Mishnah, Ezezu. In the first case of the Mishnah said, what's the case of Kedushin and Noavera that you go after the Zachar? It's these cases. When it says that these are the cases, it's Lemu'ud, it's coming to exclude and to tell you that our Mishnah was not a general rule. There is only specific cases that fit into that. But however, regarding like this case of Nisgairu of two different nations, that it's going to go after the Pogum, not after the Zachar. Now Rashi points out the question that we just mentioned before regarding the first half of Rabban's statement. Why didn't the Gemara ask that actually should have been said in the Mishnah? Because here you have two different nationalities and there's no Avera for them to get married and they're married. So it's seemingly Kedushin and no Avera and it's going Acha the Zachar. So why it should have been mentioned in the Mishnah? And that says Rashi, no, because the case of the Mishnah, of the first case, is Yesh Kedushin Ve'in Aveira. Up until they convert, there's no Kedushin for these non-Jews, and since there's no Halacha of Kedushin, it wouldn't fit into the Halacha of the Mishnah at all. Now the Gemara sums up this discussion that we had up until now. And that is, the Gemara's discussion from this part of the Amud was going back on the second teretz of the Gemara that it had from the original question that our Gemara opened up with. Our Gemara had asked on the Mishnah, our Mishnah seems to be saying general rules, whenever there's Kedushin and there's no Aveira, the Halacha is to go after the Zachar. Problem is, you have a case of Gerushin Nasim Amzeres where there's Kedushin and there's no Aveira, and yet the Halacha is the Vlad Hailach Achar Apogim, which contradicts the Halacha of the Mishnah that it should go after the Zachar. So the first answer the Gemara gave is that would only be like Rabbi Yossi. Actually, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Huda, who holds that there is an Aveira for Ger to marry Mamzeres, and therefore fits very well into the Gemara's, into the Mishnah's second category, where that's where it's Hoylech Acha Apogam. All the Gemara said that, no, you could say actually the Tanav Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi, but actually our Mishnah is not saying a general categorical statement, and actually that's why it says Ezezu to be Memayit, and it's saying only these cases when this Kedushin and no Aveira is a Hoylech Acha Zachar. But Gershon Nasim Amzeres, although it is Kedushin and no Avera, the Halacha is not going to be Achar Zach, it's going to go Achar Pogim Shebishneim. Now that's where our Gemara's question goes on. It says, Hai Mai, how are we going to then explain the whole Mishnah if it's going like Rabbi Yossi? As the Gemara explains, Iyamet B'Shleimah Masnit Rabbi Yehuda, if you say like the first answer of the Gemara, then our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who he says, a Ger is forbidden to marry Mamzeres. So that's why we explain very simply, it fits into the second category of the Mishnah, which is the Ben goes after the Pogam Shabbos name, whenever, as like the Halach is, whenever this Kedushin and that there is an Avera. So you could say that you can now understand, because there are two contradictory terminologies being used in our Mishnah, which the Gemara is coming to explain. It says, Kol Makim, it says in the four different Halachas of the Mishnah, it says, in any place that it has this type of halacha, which is obviously re-becoming to include things. And then also says the terminology is of Ezezu. And what's the case? Which sounds like, oh, only this is the case, excluding other cases, although it fits into the category. So according to, if our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, we can explain the Kalmakims and the Ezezus. As the Gemara explains, Kalmakim, the Reshem, and it says in the first halacha of the Mishnah, that Kalmakim, everywhere where there's Kedushin and that there's no Navera. So the Mishnah says, you're going to go after the Zachar. So what does Kalmakim come to say? It's Lasuya Yisrael Shanasach Halala. As we mentioned previously in the Gemara, it's coming to include when a Jewish man marries a woman that's a Halala, where, yes, that the daughter is going to be kosher for the Kuhuna, and the child's going to be going after the Zachar. So that's being included from Kalmakim, because there's Kedushin and no Avera. Moreover, Udi Rabba Baba Chana, it's also coming to include Rabba Baba Chana's case, which is when a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzis Rishaina, where again there's Kedushin and there's no Avera. That's why the child, according to Rabbi Bachana at least, goes after the father, Achad the Zachar, and it's going to be a Shlishi. That's what's being included from Kalmakim. Ezezu, when then when the first halacha of the Mishnah, which we're calling the Reisha, says, and what's the type of case, which sounds like, but in general, even though there's Kedushin and no Avera, he's not going to go after the father. That's Lema'ute de Rav Dimi v'Ravin. That's coming to exclude Rav Dimi and Ravin. In other words, if you hold like Rav Dimi, that he holds that even by the Mitzri Sheni, the marriage of Mitzri Sri Sheni, the son's going to be a Sheni, then what Ezezu, the Mishnah, is coming to tell you is to exclude this case, that you don't go after the Zachar. And the Kamakim of the Reisha is coming to tell you, only the case of Yisrael Shenasach Halala. Now, that's one thing that Ezezu would be excluding. In other words, it would be excluding Rav Dimi's Halacha, in other words, like Rav Dimi says, and it would be excluding, like Ravin says, where he says that when they convert, so you go after the pogrom of the two nationalities, and you don't go after the father, even though there's no Avera. So you could have Yesh Kedushin and Ein Avera, and still there's two cases that are not going to fit into the Halacha of the Mishnah, as Rav Dimi says, and like Ravin says, which is the case of a Mitzri Sheni Shnas and Mitzri Rishayna, like Rav Dimi said that you're not going to go after the father, and like Ravin said regarding two nationalities that they convert, you're not going to go after the father, even though there's Kedushin and no Avera. Now, but if you hold like Rabba Baba Chana, then actually, as that's what the Gemara just said before, that's what Mikamakim is coming to be including, first of all, the case of when the Mitzri Sheni Nasas Mitzri Sheina, that it will be going after the Zachar, and Ezezu would only be excluding the case of Ravin, meaning it wouldn't be contradicting Ravin, it would be saying like Ravin. So again, Ezezu is excluding either only Ravin, if you hold like Rabba Baba Chana, And if you hold like Rav Dimi, then Ezezu is excluding not only Ravin, but it's also excluding his own halacha, meaning to say that it's not going to fit the trends of the Mishnah to go after the Tzachar, it's going to go after the Pagim Shabishnei. So again, so according to Rabbi Huda, so far we understand what Kalmakim of the first case of the Mishnah is coming to include, and we understand what Ezezu is coming to exclude. Now as we continue to Amud Beis, continuing Kalmakim the Sefer, moving on to the second category of the Mishnah, by when there's Kedushin and that there is an Aver, where we said that then the Vlad Zhoilach Achar Pagim Shabishneim takes after the more deficient of the two parents. So what's Kalmakim coming to include? Lasuya Gerish and Nosim Amzeris. And again, this is, as we'll see, this is the point of contention, that would be only according to Rabbi Huda. Because Rabbi Huda holds that it actually is an Avera, as we said on the Manal, for a Ger to marry Mamzeres. So there, it fits very well in the Mishnah's second Halacha, although it's not said, Kamakim is coming to include that the Vlad will go after the more Pogam Shabishneim, hence it will take after the mother, and therefore the child will be a Mamzer. But Eli'i, Amad Rabbi Yasihi, but if you say as in the second Teretz of the Gemara, that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yasihi, so okay. Kamakim deresha kadamarin. We understand what the kamakim of the first case of the Mishnah would be coming to include, which even according to Rabbi Yasi would be including a Yisrael that marries a halala, that it would, doesn't take after the mother, it takes after the father. Ezezu kadamarin. Also regarding the Ezezu, what that's coming to exclude would be, as we said, for Rabbi Huda, where it would either be excluding only Ravin or also Rav Dimi's halacha. And regarding a gerish nasim amzeris, again according to Rabbi Yasi, that actually would be excluded from the halacha, because he holds actually that it would be taken after the Pagim Shabishneim, even though it is Kedushin and no Avera. But Elikal Malkim the Seifa la Suyimai, but according to Rabbi Yasi, when the Seifa, the second case of the Mishnah, talks about Yesh Kedushin, the Yesh Avera, that the halacha is Acha Pagim Shabishneim, what's that coming to include when it says Kal Malkim? Where else do you find a halacha of Kedushin and Avera that the child takes after the Pagim, besides those already mentioned in the Mishnah? Because Rabbi Huda, we had something to say, which is Gersh Nas Mamzeres. But according to Rabbi Yasi, that he actually holds that's not the halacha, then because it's actually not a case of Yesh Avera, so then what are you going to be able to say? What does Kamakim come to mean? Now, not to give a response, wait a second. Ultamech, according to your reasoning, that you're bothered that what does Kamakim come to include, and therefore difficult, how could you say the Talmud Mishnah like Rabbi Yasi? Rabbi Yehuda, but even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ezezu de Seifa Lamali, what does he do with the exclusionary criterion of Ezezu when it's coming to explain what are the cases of that when there's Kedushin and that there is an Avera, that you go after the Pagim Shabishneim, what is it coming to exclude? We don't have any cases that it's excluding to say that even though that there's Kedushin and that there is an Avera, that you're not going to go after the Pagim Shabishneim. So therefore the Gemara says it's not difficult in Rabbi Yasi either. Eli Aidi de Tana Reisha Ezezu, just like you have to say for Rabbi Yehuda, because once we said the example of Ezezu in the first case, and that there was a purpose to exclude other cases, so Tana Seifa Ezezu, so to the second case also said Ezezu. So says the Gemara, Hachinami, so then you say the same thing for Rabbi Yasi. I did the Tana Reisha Kamakim, just like because in the Reisha, the first case, you had to say Kamakim to include things. So Tana Nami, say for Kamakim, you also said the same terminology of Kamakim in the second case, even though it's not including anything according to Rabbi Yasi, and therefore it's not difficult to say that the Tana of the Mishnah, like the second answer of the Gemara, had said, is going like Rabbi Yasi. Now the Gemara goes back to something we mentioned on Amud Aleph, Gufa. We said that Ki Asa Rav and Amr B'yechan, when Ravin came, he said the name of B'yechan on two halachas. He said, B'umais halach achar hazacha. When you have two different nationalities, the man and woman are for different nations, you go after the father. And this guy, when they convert and then they marry, halach achar apagim shabishneim, then you go after the more deficient of the two parents. So the Gemara explains these two halachas. First of all, my B'umais halach achar hazacha. What does it mean when it says regarding two different nationalities that you go after the father? In other words, for what halachic relevancy does it have that we take after the father and not the mother? Because as long as they didn't convert, it doesn't make a difference. You can't marry a non-Jew anyway. And moreover, from where do we know that you go after the father? So that the Gemara says, "Kedetani, like learned in the Braisa, minayin le'echad mino umayis." How do we know that that if there's a person from one of the nations, in other words, one of the nations of the world, and not one of the seven nations of Eretz Canaan, because the pasuk says regarding those of Eretz Canaan, loisachayi kol neshami, not let them stay alive. You have to kill them out. So we're talking about one of the other nations from the other 70 nations of the world. Shabbat ala Canaanis, that if he cohabits with a Canaanis, one of the seven nations of the world, which regarding them it says, Leisachai kol neshama, you're not allowed to keep them alive. Now, as Rashi points out, it's not just the Canaani, it's actually for all the seven nations of Canaan, the Chivis and Yevusis, it's just they're all called based on Canaan, as the Pasuk calls it, Eretz Canaan. So that the Braisa says, how do you know if one of the other nationalities of the world, as a male, goes and has relations with the Canaanite woman, V'hoilid ben, and he has a child from her. Shatter Rishoy l'knoise be'eved. You're allowed to purchase that son as a slave. In other words, you don't have to kill him, because seemingly he's a Kanani, his mother's a Kananis. You don't say that. You say he takes after his father, and his father is a nationality that you're allowed to keep alive. How do you know that the son takes after the father, and therefore you're allowed to purchase him as a slave? Tamalim, as the Pasuk teaches, in Vayikra, where previously the Pasuk had said, Va'avducha va'amasecha, that your slave and your maidservant, which will be from you, from the nations around you, meaning not from the seven nations, that the Pasuk says, Mehem tiknu eved va'ama, from them you could purchase a slave and a maidservant. And that's near where it says, this Pasuk, V'gamem nehatayshavim hagar mimachem. In other words, this, that you want to purchase a slave and you don't have to kill them out, is also from those that are residents who dwell with you. In other words, not just from other nations of the world out of Eretz Canaan, which have no relations to the seven nations, but even from the children which are born from those who live outside and those who dwell amongst you. In other words, because they're giving birth from the Canaanite woman. Mehem tiknu, and that the Pasuk says, from them you could purchase. So even though the mother is a Canaanis, but since the father is not, you could go after the father and the child you don't have to kill. Now, says the Braisa, Yochalaf, Eved Shabal Shefcha Menu Umois. So you would think the same thing is in the reverse. That if there's an Eved, meaning a Kanani, if the father is a male Kanani who has relations with a maidservant from one of the other nations, V'hoilid Ben, and then they give birth to a child, Shatar Rishol Knoise Be'Eved, then you would think that also, since one of the parents is not a Kanani, that then you could purchase him as a slave and you don't have to kill him. Tamalimah, the Pasuk teaches that no, Asher Hoilidu Ba'artzechem, which they gave birth in your land, meaning, Min Hanoilodim Ba'artzechem. Only from those which are born in your land, meaning that a man from one of the other nations of the world gave birth to one of the daughters of your land of Eretz Canaan, meaning they gave birth in Eretz Yisrael, meaning the mother is from Eretz Yisrael, but v'loy min hagarim ba'aretzchem, but not from those that live in your land. In other words, where they actually gave birth in another land because the mother is from another nation, but then the sons, as Rashi explains, what the pattern that the Pasuk is explaining is that they come then to live where their father lives. So if they're living in Eretz Canaan, Hagar Ma'aretzchem, that probably means that his father is a Kanani and his mother was not. That's a problem because he takes after the father. Then you can't take him as a slave. It's only if they're Noilodim Ba'aretzchem, Asher Halidim Ba'aretzchem, which is that the mother gives birth where she lives, which is in Canaan. But actually they live not in Eretz Canaan, they live where the father lives, outside of Eretz Yisrael, that's where you could go ahead and purchase them as an Eved, and therefore that explains the halacha that we mentioned, first of all, the source and what the purpose of it. The source is this pasuk, and the purpose is regarding avdus, are you allowed to purchase them as a slave, or do you have the chiyuv of leisa chayi kol neshama? That's what it's saying, is haylech achar zachar, if the father is a Kanani, then you cannot purchase him as a slave. It says leisa chayi kol neshama. If the father is not, then you could purchase him as a slave. He doesn't have the obligation of leisa chayi kol neshama. Then the second halacha that Ravin said was Nizgayru, if they convert, so halach achar apogim shebishneim. Then you go after the more deficient of the two. So the Gemara asks, B'mai, what is this halacha talking about? In other words, it cannot be a continuation of the first halacha regarding avdus, which that's what we're saying, can you purchase them as a slave, or is there a chiyuv of leisachayi kol neshama, which we said is related to if one of the parents is a Kanani. That can't be talking about because we're talking about Nizgayru, where they converted. So obviously it wouldn't be appropriate halacha of taking them as a slave if it's regarding people that converted and they're full-fledged Jews. So rather it must be talking about regarding yichus, regarding proper lineage about the status of this child when you have two different parents from two different nationalities. Now, on that Rashi points out, as the Gemara will discuss, we don't find any difference which nation this convert came from besides the people of Ammon and the people of Mitzrayim, of the Egyptians. Because regarding the Ammonim, the men are forbidden forever to enter into the Jewish people. And regarding the Mitzrayim, we find that the Isra is up until the third generation from conversion, they're not allowed to marry into the Kehila. Now, it seems like from the case of Ravin, that we're talking about that both parents have deficiencies, but just what it says, the child's going to be the most deficient. It's going to take on the most deficient of those two parents. So what's the case talking about? Sigmar explains, if you're entertained to say that the father is a Mitzri who married a woman that's an Amoinis, and that's what you're saying, that the child's going to take after the more deficient of the two, which is a Mitzri, and therefore the descendants are going to be forbidden to marry to the Jewish people up until the third generation, because the mother, who is an Amoinis, who converted, is actually permitted to the Jewish people. Because halacha forbidding an amoini, the people from Ammon, forever in the Jewish people, is only the males. But it says amoini b'loy amoinis. Now, but if that's the case, so ask the Gemara, my pogum ikka, then it wouldn't make sense, because what deficiency does the mother have? Because you said in Rabban's halacha, niskayru, if they convert, which sounds like that it's on the plural on both of them, the halacha is coming to say, where there's a deficiency in both of them, oh, you go after the more deficient of both of them. But the problem is here, in the case you just described, what deficiency is there in the mother? But amoini b'lo amoinis. The pasuk says that the prohibition of coming to the Jewish people is only by the male from Ammon. The female amoini is like a regular Jewish woman. So she wouldn't have any deficiency at all to transfer to the child to say you go after the more pogum shabishneim. So El Rav, the Gemara explains, the case must be talking about ba'amoini shenosa mitzvahs, by a male amoin who married a female mitzvahs. Now, because regarding the halacha of mitzri va'adoimi, people that come from the Egyptians or from Edoim, there the females have the same halacha as the males, as the Gemara explains in Yevamos, that finds Zion in a base. So here there is a pagam by both parents. You have the mitzris, who has a pagam up until third generation. You have the amoini, who he's forbidden actually forever to the Jewish people. So that's what the halacha of Ravun was coming to say. V'izachar havahai, if the child born from this union is a male, so shadya basre didei, he's going to take after the father, meaning he's going to be considered as an amoini, and the prohibition of a male amoini is forever. And that is, we say that he doesn't take after the mother, who actually after the third generation, the child, his child, would be actually permitted to marry to the Jewish people. Now that's if the child born is a boy. V'nekeva havya, if she's a female, shadya abasra dida, then she takes after her mother, which is then she goes after the mitzris and not after the amoini, because if she took after her father, actually she would be permitted right away to marry to the Jewish people, because as we said, it's only amoini below amoinis. So rather, she's not going to be permitted to the Jewish people, because we're not taking after the father, she's not considered amoinis. She's actually taking after her mother, and it's only her own son, who's the third generation mitzri, that's going to be permitted to marry into the Jewish people. And the reason for this halach is because the pasuk says, as we mentioned this before, lohem, which is, as the Gemara elsewhere says, halach achar psulim. When you have the different people marrying into the Jewish people where they converted, then you're going to go after the more deficient of the two. We're here when you have the amoini married the mitzvahs, depending if it's a boy or girl, it's going to take on the worst of either parent. That's the halachic relevancy of this halacha marrying into the Jewish people. Then the Mishnah said the halacha of kol she'ein lo alav kedushin, where this is the third category of the Mishnah, where there's actually no kedushin with this man, but she would have kedushin with other men in the Jewish people, meaning a regular Jewish woman, but it's an erva to him. It's his mother, it's his sister, something that's a chiv karis for him, where there's no condition between them, but if she married another Jewish man, it would be, then the child's going to be a mamzer. So that the Gemara asked the Minohan Emili, from where do we know this? Which, as Rashi explains, the Gemara's question is, that kedushin is not taifis by chiv akrisis, but when there's an erva that there's a chiv karis for, that kedushin doesn't take effect. Because as Rashi points out, regarding the fact that the child of that union is a mamzer, that the Gemara's not asking. Because that is learnt out from a pasuk where it says, Lo yikach ishes eshes aviv, a person should not take his father's wife, and it says, Lo yigal knaf aviv, he shouldn't reveal the corner of his father's robe. Which, right after that, it says, Lo yove mamzer, which the Gemara in Yevamos says in the Mem Testament Aleph, that it's that pasuk of Lo yigal knaf aviv is talking about shemeris yavam of his father, meaning when his father's brother dies without any children, the woman waiting for Yibam is called shemeris yavam, the son is not allowed to go out and have relations with that shemeris yavam. Now, that woman is also his father's brother's wife, which anyways has a chiyuv karas. So it's from there that the Gemara in Yevamos explains over there on Daf Mem Heim Beis that you see that whenever there's no kedushin, because that's what we're explaining over here, that how do you know that chiyuv krisis is no kedushin, that the child is going to be a mamzer, as the case is by Eshes Sachi Aviv, which is what the Shemeres Yavim is, that the child is like the pasuk then says afterwards, Lo Yavim Mamzer, because the child's going to be a mamzer. But what we're asking over here is, how do we know that kedushin is not toifis and chiyuv krisis? So I think Gemara says, the Amr b'chiyuv b'rabba Amr b'yechna. And umatuba, and some actually twist that, in other words, the attribution is different according to some. That's actually Meshum de Rabbi Yana. It's in the name of Rabbi Yana. Now, actually, Rav Acha Berei de Rava, Rav Acha, the son of Rava, he actually says that it's not in the name of Rabbi Yana that other people want to attribute to, but actually Umatuba Meshum Rabbi Yisai Glili. Others attributed to Rabbi Yisai Glili. But what's the source? Amakra, the pasuk says in Devarim, The yotze mi beisai, a woman that he's divorcing will leave from his house. V'holcha v'hoysa l'shachar, and she goes and she marries another man. Now, it's used the terminology of v'hoysa, which is kedushin, and it says that she could have kedushin only le'ish achar, which is la'acherim, for men which are like other tahar. That's who there is v'hoysa, they could be kedushin. But v'loy le'krivim, but there's not going to be v'hoysa, which is the terminology of kedushin, for someone that's a kar of tahar, that's a relative tahar. Meaning to say, this halacha, that kedushin is not toifis in a close relative, which is what arayas are, which, so we see that when there's a karav, there's no vahaysa, it's only vahaysa lish achar. Kedushin can only be toifis in someone that's not related to her. Now, maskev l'rabbah, Rabbah asked, however, on this source, and says, ve'ema la'achar v'loy la'ben, but maybe say, when it says that she can only marry an achar, someone distant from her, maybe it's only coming to exclude the closest to her, which is her husband's son. But maybe other more distant relatives, which are also considered arayis that the schiv cars for, maybe there the Torah is not telling you that there's no v'haisa. Maybe condition would be typhus. And that the Gemara answers, no, ben behedik sibbe. We can't tell you that that's what the pasuk here is excluding is the son, because the son explicitly it says in Devarim, it says lo yikach ish es eshes av. A man is not allowed to marry his father's wife. Now the word lo yikach makes it sound like that there shouldn't be any likuchin, meaning that's the terminology of kedushin, that kedushin is not going to be typhus by his father's wife. So you already see the halacha that his father's wife cannot marry his son, which is the son not marrying his father's wife. So achar lamalis, then what is the pasuk coming to say when it says she could only have v'haysa le'ish achar? Obviously, shema mina lachem le'lekravim, it's obviously saying more extensive halacha, that she's only going to marry others that are distant and not those that are close relatives, meaning any relatives. But the Gemara still asks, no, ve'imi idi ve'idi leben, maybe I'll tell you actually that both pesukim are referencing the son. Now, why do we need two psukim, one of lo yikach ish es eshes aviv, and one of a hol chavayis lish achar, to tell you that there's no kedushin teifis by a son of her husband? That the Gemara says, halakit chilav hadayavit. Maybe actually one pasuk is saying initially that you're not allowed to do this. In other words, when it says lo yikach, it's saying that you're not allowed to go ahead. In other words, lo yikach is not saying that kedushin is not going to be teifis. It's just a warning that lo yikach, you shouldn't go ahead and do this type of a kedushin. But maybe if I only had that pasuk of le'ikach eshes eshes aviv, after the fact, if you did kedushin and you violated that iser, it would be kedushin. So maybe that's why the other pasuk comes to say that no, that there's actually no havaya. V'holcha v'haysa le'ish achar, v'haysa kedushin is only le'ish achar. But maybe it's actually talking about regarding the son of her husband. And the reason why the Gemara is asking these questions is because since it doesn't specify in the pasuk which relatives we're excluding, maybe the only thing you could know is the minimum amount, which is for this Esther, is only the most closest from them all, which is her husband's son. But maybe more distant relatives, although they're chiv krisis and arayis, maybe their kedushin would be typhus. So that the Gemara says, no, you can't say one pasuk is l'ketchila, one pasuk is diavet. Because l'ketchila, for the initial fact that it's prohibited to marry the husband's son, that ma'achis isha nafka, that you already know from a different source, from his wife's sister, which the pasuk says loisikach, you now take your wife's sister, which is obviously telling you not to do kedushin. So uma'achis isha bekaris leiktikta. So originally regarding achis isha, his wife's sister, which is only a penalty of karis, which is that there's from b'dei shemayim, from heaven, he dies at a young age, and his children get killed, where it says loisikta shinal, go ahead and do kedushin. So chiv misis bezin, those things which are more severe. It's actually by the hands of the mortal courts, that by the father's wife, where there's a penalty of skila, that he gets stoned. L'koshken, isn't it? Definitely, we would know that they should not let her marry her husband's son. And therefore, I would already know the ketchila. So one of them would be telling you, but the evid. So what's the other pasuk of la'achar coming to tell you? It must be telling you all relatives. But the Gemara asked now, so fine. So regarding Ben, we can't say that's what it's saying, because that we already know from other sources. But now that we introduced Achayis Isha, actually, ve'emi idi ve'idi, maybe say that both psukim, one loisikach, and v'hol chavahayis lish achar, are actually talking about Achayis Isha, by his wife's sister. In other words, halakit chilo hadi eved, we have one pasuk which we quoted of loisikach, that you're not allowed to take your wife's sister, that's just telling you halakit chilo. But now that we know that the Torah warns you initially, and it only tells you explicitly regarding a chayis isha, then you could say that when the pasuk said v'halcha v'hayis lish achar, to exclude someone, maybe it's coming to exclude her, that her his wife's sister, where there's not going to be any v'hayis over there. But maybe other relatives where the Torah doesn't warn you l'ketchila not to go ahead and have a kicha to do kedushin, maybe there after the fact kedushin would be typhus. So how do you know that it's talking about all relatives? So the Gemara says, Enachanam, the Gemara concedes and says, you're right. Are you true that from that pasuk of Ahalcha B'Haislish Achar, which is excluding relatives, you really only know for sure Achais Isha? Because the Torah already warned you, L'Ketchila. Now when it's repeating it, it would be telling you, but the Eved, it's not going to take effect. But Ashkechan Achais Isha, now that we know that the wife's sister, Kedushin's not Teifiz, Shashar Rais Menol, and how do you know regarding all other Arais? Yalfina Machais Isha, you actually learn enough Machais Isha itself from what's called a Binyanav, or what's called a Mamatzina, which you could compare, which they share common characteristics, and therefore they share halachas. Because Machais Isha Miuchadashi Erva, if we find by a wife's sister, which is distinct in that it's an Erva, it's one of the prohibited relationships that is a death penalty, which is V'chayavan Azadayna Karas, V'ashigagasachatas, where if you do it deliberately, you're Chayav HaKaras. If you do it by mistake, you're Chayav HaKar Machatas. And the pasuk is telling us from this leish acher and not lekarav that kedushin is not taifis. So av kol she erva. So to all other forbidden relationships that are arayas, v'chayov nas doin lekaras v'ashegagas achatis. That also has the same characteristics. That if you do it deliberately, you chayev for a death penalty from heaven. If you do it in error, then you chayev for karmachatis. So too leitavs bekedushin. So too it teaches the same halacha that kedushin is not going to be taifis by all arayas. So the Gemara says, Bishle Mekula Asin. The Gemara says, it's a good answer. All other arayas that are mentioned in the Torah could be included and learned out from a Mamatzinu, from a Chais Isha. Ella, but there's two exceptions which doesn't answer the question. Eshes Ish, a married woman. The Eshes Ach and his brother's wife, Ikla Mifrach. You could ask on the Mamatzinu and say, we still don't know how Kedushin wouldn't be Taifis by an Eshes Ish and an Eshes Ach. Because Malo Chais Isha, what can you compare to a wife's sister? Shekein lo heter b'mokam mitzvah. Where there it's pretty severe that there's never a permissibility in a situation of mitzvah, specifically that of yibum. In other words, when his brother dies without any children, the Gemara in the beginning of Masechtas Yevamah Stav Gimel Mabei says, it says by the Issa b'chais ishtoi, the word oleha, oleha b'chayeha, that you're not allowed to marry the wife's sister when your wife's still alive. So too by the context of yibum, it also says oleha. It says Yevamah Yovei oleha, that her yavam should cohabit with her. Now, the Gemara there tells us that just like when it says the word Aleho by Yevama Yava Aleho, it's referring to a mitzvah of Yibum, so too over here when it says that there's a prohibition of marrying the wife's sister and they use Aleho, it's saying the prohibition is even when there's a Mokka mitzvah. And still the Torah is telling you, Loi Sikach, then you're not allowed to marry the wife's sister even though there's a mitzvah of Yibum. So if his brother died without any children and was married to his wife's sister, he would not be able to do the mitzvah of Yibum over there. So David the Gemara asks, by a Chais Isha, there's no heter b'makom mitzvah. So maybe over there the halacha is, kedushin is not taifis, it has another stringency, the kedushin is not taifis even b'di'evit. But timer, but how are you going to say, b'eshes ach, by a brother's wife, sheyesh lo heter b'makom mitzvah. There is a heter in the place of mitzvah, because that's actually the mitzvah of Yibam. Mitzvah of Yibam is, when his brother dies without any children, his brother's wife, although it's an erva generally, could be taken as a wife. So to Eishas Ishname Ikla Mifrach, you could also ask that it's not a good comparison to a regular married woman. Because Malahanach, because what are you going to say by a Chais Isha? Shekein Ein Lohetu B'chayi Oisron. By a wife's sister, there's never a permissibility to marry the sister-in-law, the wife's sister, when her sister, meaning his wife, is still alive. Because even if he divorces his wife, he still cannot marry his wife's sister as long as she's still alive. So when the Oisron, which is his wife, is still alive, her sister is always forbidden. Taima be'eshes ish b'chayi, what are you going to say about the married woman? Sheyesh la heter b'chayi oisrin, that there is a permissibility for this married woman when even the one who's making her forbidden is still alive. How so? In a case when her husband gives her a get. So although the thing that made her usher is still alive, there's a way of permissibility when he divorces her. In contrast to the case of a Chais Isha, which what made her forbidden was the woman he was married to, but even when he divorces her, the sister-in-law is still forbidden as long as she's still alive. So how are you learning out Eishas Ach and Eishas Ish from a Chais Isha when a Chais Isha has a stringency that these two don't have and maybe they would have Kedushin being Typhus? So Ela Amar Rabbi Yehuda, rather Rabbi Yehuda concludes, and this is what's commonly known as Hekesh de Rabbi Yehuda, V'yitem, and some say it was actually Rav Huna b'Rei de Yeshua, that Amakra, the Pasuk in B'Yikra says, after it finishes the Parsha Barayit, it says, Kol ha-shayasim mikol ha-ta'ivis ho'eila, whoever does from any of these abominations, which are regarding this whole Parsha Barayit, v'nichrasu, and then they're going to get karas. So says Rabbi Yehuda, hukshu kol ha-rayis kulam l'chais isha, so all the rayis are being compared one to the other, which one of the rayis mentioned over there is a chais isha. So we say ma'achis ishulei tavs b'kedushin because it puts it into one big general category. Mikol ata avis, whatever does from any of these arise. So just like we find by the wife's sister, that loy tavs b'kedushin, kedushin not going to take effect. So avkal arayis kulam loy tavs b'kedushin. So although it's not totally comparable, but a mashivin ala hekesh. You don't ask questions. The Torah is comparing them to. So to all arayis, kedushin is not going to be typhus. Now, whatever the Gemara asks on this hekesh of Rabbi Yehuda. Ihachi, if that's the case that we're comparing all the arayis mentioned over there to each other, including achayis isha, that kedushin is not going to be typhus, then as we continue on top of samaches and aleph, the nafila nidanami, one of the arayis mentioned over there that is prohibited to have relations with, is a menstruating woman, which is, therefore, the Gemara's question is, then even if a man gets engaged to a single woman who is a nida, which is a isser of karis, the kedushin shouldn't take effect. Because, and moreover, if he, let's say, has beer with the nida, the child should be a mamzer. Now, because you're saying it's included within the parasha of arayis, and we're all comparing them to achayis isha, which just like nida's karis, they're all karis, and just like achayis isha, kedushin not taifis, kedushin with a nida should not be taifis. But Allah amabaya, why did Abaya say in Masech Tzivamas and Perka Chaylitz, hakol moidim, everyone agrees, b'boala nida, if a man has relations with a nida, or v'ala seita, regarding a woman that's the suspected adulterous woman, and this is a reference to two different Tanoic opinions, meaning, even Shimon HaTimni, who he says in Yevamos Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, that there is a mamzer from Chiv Krisis, he, and this is what Abai is addressing, would agree that when you have bia with a nida, that actually, as he's saying, She'en Avlad Mamzer, the child would not be a mamzer, although it's a Chiv Karas, and so too it's addressing Rabbi Kiva's opinion, who he mentions over there that there is a mamzer even from Chiv Alavim, from negative prohibitions, he would agree when someone has bia with his wife who is a saita, in other words, that he had warned her and she was secluded, where the halacha is that there's a negative prohibition, as it says, lo yuchul baila, as the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph Mabez explains, what does it mean, acher ashur tama, it comes to include a saita that was already had was secluded with the man, that there's a negative prohibition for the husband to have relations with her. So though they fit categorically into Shimon HaTimni's category of creating a child a mamzer or Rabbi Kiva, still Abai says they both agree by anida and the seita she'in avlad mamzer, that the child's not going to be a mamzer, and the reason being, as we have already mentioned many times, the relationship between mamzer and kedushin is because obviously kedushin is typhus. But the problem is, why is kedushin typhus by anida if we just said Hakesh Rabbi Yehuda compares, which one of them is nida over there, to achayis isha? And if there's karis, then kedushin is not typhus. Yet nida has karis, and kedushin we're obviously seeing the child's not a mamzer, and it is typhus. But why? So Amachiske explains because Amakra the pasuk says, and this excludes the halach of nida from the hakesh derbiyena, because it says in meyikra usahi nida salav, that her nida, her menstruating status, should be on her. Now the terminology sehi is telling you that a filah b'shas nida, even at a time when she's a nida, teheba havaya. Havaya, which is Sahi, should take effect in her meaning, which it's a reference to Kedushin. The Pasuk is explicitly coming to say that Kedushin can be Taifis in a Nida. Now, so the Gemara concludes this discussion and says, so Mechdi, let's see. We have this Hakesha Derabi Yehuda, which compares all the Arayas to each other. So Ikala Kusha, so you could compare all the other Arayas to Nida. You could compare them, which one of them mentioned over there is a Nida, which we're saying that even though Nida, as we just brought from a pasuk of a Sid Nidasalav, even though there's a Chiv of Karas and it's an Erva, still Kedushin is Typhus. And the Ikala Kusha La Chaisisha, you could also compare it, as the Gemara had assumed up until now, to a Chaisisha, which is also an Erva and has Karas, and Kedushin is not Typhus. My chazes asked the Gemara, what did you see fit? The makshas lahu lachayis isha, to compare it to achayis isha, to say kedushin is not taifis, actual nida, compared to nida. That's also one of those mentioned. And as we brought a source just before that says kedushin is taifis. So why pick achayis isha over nida? So the Gemara answers, kula v'chorma. We have an option, you're right, of making the hekesh of Rabbi Yehuda either as a leniency or as a stringency. I mean, the stringency would be that the child from that union would be a mamzer. Because again, as we said, mamzeris is contingent on kedushin. So wherever there's no kedushin, the child's going to be a mamzer. And that halacha is l'chomer makshinin. We have a choice between a hekesh, between a lenient or a stringent. We say we take the stringent interpretation, and therefore, the more stringent is the one that the child's going to be a mamzer. Which one is that? That's the woman that kedushin's not going to be typhus. That is achayis isha. So we're saying that we're comparing all the arayas to achayis isha, which is the most stringent hekesh to say the kedushin not going to be taifas, and therefore the child's going to be a mamzer, in contrast to nida. And therefore, that concludes the Gemara's discussion regarding this third category of the Mishnah that we mentioned, which is a situation where a woman has no kedushin with this man, but would have with other men, which again is one of the arayas in the Torah, that we said that the halacha is that the child's going to be a mamzer. That's again, and the reason is because, as our Gemara explains, since kedushin is not taifas, which is the source we just brought, because we make a kesher to Rabbi Yoina learning it from achayis isha. Therefore, as the Gemara in Yevamos teaches, whenever there's no kedushin being taifas, like in his father's brother's wife, there the pasuk then says lo yavam mamzer, to say that such a union where kedushin is not taifas, the child is going to be a mamzer.